kids that are going back to school. We're putting it to pray for the teachers as well. And remind my dear, I wish I'd done it before, but they went downstairs. So wake up and look around. So really at the end, and it's amazing, we spoke in the last couple of weeks about how she came. It didn't really matter how she came. It's how she left and first she met while she was ill. And we spoke about how in church life, it doesn't really matter how people come in. It's for the encounter while they're here and really how they leave. If it happens with us, lady, is she's got issues. She's in six broken marriages. Her life's falling apart and she's going at the well at the time that she shouldn't have really been gone. It was in the heat of the sun. But she was in that place of isolation, that place of shame, and she wasn't able to speak to anybody. She was on her own, and yet Jesus encounters her. Jesus says, I need to go to Samaria. I need to meet this woman. And we've spoken about how there was amazing tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. They shouldn't have been seen together. They shouldn't have been speaking together. But yet Jesus sees past all that and sees a person worth living for, worth dying for, worth serving, worth helping. And her life was completely transformed. But let's pick up again at John chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 27. So we've got a story. There's a conversation with a woman. The disciples are going in to Samaria as well. So it's just really her and the Lord. And the Lord sort of unpacks a few things. But let's pick up at verse 27. It says, just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, why, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. It's interesting it uses the word streaming because there's a hell water theme going on here. They're at a well. Jesus is speaking about living water and she's leaving her water jug and yet says people came streaming towards Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Jesus said, I've already been fed. I've not had bread, I've not had fish, but I've already been fed. Why? Because this woman's life has been transformed. It's amazing the satisfaction that Jesus gets with transformed lives. He says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy, hallelujah, awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvest. And it's true. I sent you a harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not just because of what you told us, but because we have held him for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. What a change in a woman's life. But listen, this woman was really a key to open a door to a hell community. It's interesting that Jesus didn't just descend upon Samaria. It's interesting that he didn't just turn up to Samaria and preach the gospel of good news. That he didn't lay hands on the sick and cast out demons. Yet he won Samaria because of an individual encounter. And we need to see ourselves as keys to the community in the hands of God. That through us as individuals really being renewed and refreshed in his presence, that God wants to reach the community Do you believe that? Why is he now doing it? Why is he now just showing up and doing his stuff? Because his plan and his mandate, and I'm probably skipping ahead to point three in the sermon, is to do it through us, is to do it through disciples. That's his plan, and he seems a bit immovable in his plan, yet he calls the church into fellowship with him to go and do the work that he loves to do. What a great privilege that is. But we need to wake up and look around. This was a situation. There was a woman bound by fear and isolation, and Jesus had to go and see her. Far was the disciples then. The disciples was in Samaria shopping. So Jesus sent the disciples ahead. Woman, you're going to love us. Because sometimes it takes a wife to just totally change things and show the men up. And 12 disciples went into Samaria. So this encounter's happening with Jesus at the well. The disciples didn't see it. Jesus says to the disciples, you guys get something to eat. I'll sit here and have a coffee and have a chat with us wifey. And the 12 disciples get their money together and they go into Tesco's in Samaria. And they must have had a discussion. What do you get Jesus, the Messiah? What do you get him to eat? Me and Isabel sometimes got a struggle in the house. What do you want for supper? Oh, just mark us something, anything. And if I say our favorite one, she says, just do anything. You need to be specific, because if I mark you cheese and toast for supper, you got to be annoyed. Just give me something specific. You want mince feet? But fit would you buy the Savior of the world, him through him, everything was made by him, for him, through him. Fit to give somebody that's gotten that upon them a king-sized pot noodle, I would say. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. King Prawn, Chow Mein. King Tucky Fried Chicken. Fit do you gee the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? This was probably the discussion amongst the disciples. What will gee Jesus to eat? What could he possibly want? And you've got Peter there, and you've got John, and you've got Matthew. This is the spiritual heavyweights. This was going to be, for Jesus was going to pass on the mandate to go and build his church. This was them that had the keys to the kingdom. This was them that had encountered Jesus. They sat with him as he displayed the greatest sermon the planet has ever seen, the Sermon on the Mount. They sat there and listened. They seen him walk on water. They heard him proclaim that he was the Messiah. Peter, James, and John was at the Mount of Transfiguration, far before their very eyes. He just got glorified, and it says he became like the sun. This is spiritual heavyweights in Tesco's. Aye, Judas is there as well. There's 11 of them that were going to go on and be martyred and be the foundations of the church on fire for Jesus. They've got to be there at the waiting upon the Holy Spirit in the upper room. There's got to be empowered, and Peter was going to preach the first sermon. The day of Pentecost, there was to see 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And you've got John there that was going to write the Gospel of John. He's also going to write 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He's got to write Revelations. I thought that was near enough. Revelations, there's many commentaries written about Revelations. Nobody can really work out fit entirely it's on about unless God reveals. Spiritual heavyweights like the world has never seen. And there was in Tesco's in a discussion about fit to buy the Savior to eat. And they probably, after thinking, would it be mince, would it be curry, would he go for a pot noodle? They probably plumped to be bread, fish, and a bottle of vino, because that's all they seemed to eat during that time, was loaf and bread. And he turned water into wine, so you think maybe he wants maybe some of that today. But the hair's discussion. And so they're walking back into for Jesus' act. They may be seeing this woman as they was walking towards Samaria. They may be seeing this woman walking we are issues. There may be clapped eyes on our and our tattoos and our stinking our cigarettes and bars. We probably presume that she would drink rum just to get sleep after five marriages and stuff now working out in our life. And they maybe clapped eyes on that person and thought, whoa, what a next season. She's glad she's not like us. We're moving with the Lord. And so on their way back for Tesco's with her life, well, I say life-saving bags, but it's not. It's the bags for life. And they meet Jesus speaking to this lady. And they're thinking, well, hold on a minute. If it's Jesus, as the gospel records, if it is Jesus Dean speaking to this woman that we've seen, this woman that's isolated, this woman that's on her own, this woman that has a reputation for being bad. And they go to Jesus and say, Jesus, but it says none of them have the nerve to ask. He says, Jesus, far has fed you. And he says, wow, something amazing's happened and I just feel full. How much fruit to the gospel did the 12 apostles see in Samaria and Tesco's? How much? The lump sum of nothing. There was no casting out of demons. There was no people getting raised for the dead. There was no people, extra people believing in the Lord. This was the spiritual heavyweights who went into Tesco's, did their job and came back. And on the return, there was one lady who had an amazing encounter with Jesus. And then she went into the tomb. And if it happened, a revival sparks. She starts saying to people, you've got to meet this person that knows everything about me, and I think he's the Messiah. She had encountered something of the divine life. She had encountered Jesus. He'd showed her the real meaning of life. He'd gave her a plan and a purpose. And she went hop, skipping and jumping. She left that water jugs and she started being a missionary for Jesus. And it says that Abdi in the tune started streaming out to Jesus to hear him for themselves. And it says, now we believe, not just because you told us about him, we believe because we've heard Jesus for himself. And they begged him, would you please stay in Samaria? And this Jewish man, Jesus, but wasn't he supposed to be in Samaria or speaking to ladies? They begged him to stay and they received the gospel of good news. It says, many believe because, and they only fit the lady says, but because Jesus, they encounter Jesus himself. Isn't that an amazing story? And Jesus says, look, wake up. And look around, the harvest is ripe, disciples. You missed an opportunity. So if it's a point, the first thing is what Linda was saying, you're not insignificant. We speak about maybe revival. We speak about leading people to Jesus. And you might say, well, I'm there a spiritual heavyweight. I'm there a John. I'm there a Reinhard Bonnke. I'm there Stephen Hall. I'm there, Billy Graham. But look at this lady that was didn't even want to speak to people. Yet she was sent into the very place that she felt isolated for with the fire of Jesus. Are you worse than that lady at this present moment? Have you got more issues than her? I think too often we exclude ourselves for being used by God because we think, I'm just too insignificant. I've not got the right words to say. But through an encounter with Jesus, this lady that seen herself as insignificant, the disciples probably thought was insignificant. One, she was a key to unlock a hell tune for Jesus Christ. How do you see yourself? Loved by Jesus and a plan, a purpose that Jesus would die for, that Jesus wants to encounter. You're not too insignificant. Look at this lady. She outclassed the 12 apostles for fruit of the gospel. You're not too insignificant. The second thing is, wake up. Look around. The harvest is ripe. That's what happened to this lady. He had the 12 apostles that went into Samaria. They bypassed people. They were just looking for something to eat. And they felt their bags and they got back. Is that sinful? Didn't they go to club? Didn't they go gambling and they didn't go getting wild wheat and going crazy? They went and did a normal thing and then came back. But this lady full of Jesus went and won him for the Lord. And Jesus says, look, if you just wake up and look around, the harvest is ripe. He was saying to the disciples, really, you went in and you got your messages and you came back and it's fine and it's well. But you didn't really tell anybody about me and nobody got saved. You didn't tell people about the miracles. You didn't give testimony that Jesus was Savior of the world. And they came back. But yet one lady that was awakened to the reality of Jesus. One lady that was looking around. One lady that burst through into Tesco's for the disciples had been. Says, I have seen a man who knows everything about me. He's quite possibly the Messiah. One lady that was on fire for Jesus. Follow the Lord, free for condemnation, free for shame. Went back into the place where the disciples had been sharing the good news. Because she was awake. She was looking for opportunities to share the love of Jesus with people. And the disciples, unfortunately, man, the 12 men, we missed it. And how often do we go ruin life unawake? And they're really looking for opportunities to share Jesus. We get up in the morning, we do our jobs, we get our kids to school. We go our jobs, we do our church things, and yet the opportunities run about us to share Jesus is massive. Has anybody noticed that the world is full of non-Christians? Has anybody noticed that you can walk into Tesco's and you might want to hide for people because you just want an easy time with your shopping? It's full of non-Christians. And then you'll well meet a couple of Christians in there, and they do. But the person that you probably at the checkout is probably a non-Christian. And the person that you walk past that's at the door, they might be a non-Christian. And the lady, that lady struggling with her shopping is probably a non-Christian. And the person you meet at the school ground outside is maybe a non-Christian. And the people we meet in the street, the majority of them are non-Christians. The people in your workplace are non-Christians, predominantly. And Jesus is saying, look, this lady, she was awake. Not only was she awake and alive and on fire, but she was looking for opportunities. Imagine if it was looked like if the church was really awake. If the church was looking for opportunities to share Jesus, how do you think that would look? If we sit upon our day like this lady and says, I'm going to share Jesus with at least one person today. Wouldn't that be something? How easy is it to go and live this life like the disciples and get on with our daily duties and get on with life and go to our Christian festivals and go to our prayer meetings, but really stand there awake and stand there looking and stand there hearing the eyes of Jesus and said, if I really need him, if I can share this Jesus with you. Because we go to our Christian festivals and we hear an encounter and we come back and we encounter Jesus in church and we'll say to Christians, that was a good meeting. That was a good week to encounter. If it happened, I just I just feel awake again. I just feel as though my love for Jesus, I've just met him afresh. And we tell Christians all about it. But yet, if it doesn't reach out into the community, out into the world, out into somebody that is lost, out into somebody that is broken, we'll end up dry again. Because that stream that Jesus was to give us through the Holy Spirit was meant to meet and reach into the darkest places, to the broken people, to the sick, to the lost, to the hurting, to the broken. There's two seas in Israel. There's the Dead Sea and there's the Jordan. The difference between the two is amazing. The Jordan, the Sea of Galilee, it was called the Sea of Life. It's far they went fishing, or the life was flourishing. Businesses started. There was a hair bar, and there was fishing boats going in and out. It was busy. It was life. There was trees at the side. But then you've got the Dead Sea. And as its name suggests, it was dead. It's full of minerals and salt and just dead. Stuff doesn't survive out. The difference between the two is amazing. One's in the north, the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea is in the south. But how they operate is amazing as well, because the Sea of Galilee has water coming in, but it's also water going out. So far you've got a flow of water. It brings refreshing. It brings life. Things get renewed. But you see the Dead Sea. It's just got water flowing in. There's no escape. So far as water flowing in, stuff kind of flourish. There's no life and things die. Sometimes in a Christian life, we get so much input. And I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh encounter. I'm coming to church for me, and I want Jesus to do something for me, and I need his life for me. And I need this feeling of goodness. I need this feeling of love. And I want a fresh touch. And I'll go and I'll travel the world for conferences just to get that inflow. It's not everything to do with the Christian life, isn't it? Inflow. It's not a deal with just God impacting in you. It's about how then does that flow out to become a Sea of Galilee so that life can flow instead of you just becoming a vessel full of Jesus but not doing nothing. You understand? That God fills you with Jesus and you become full of joy, you become full of love, you become full of grace, but it's got to be an outflow. It's got to touch somebody. It's got to heal a broken heart. That God's not wanting you to be full of Jesus just for you. He's wanting you to be full of Jesus for the sake of somebody maybe next to you, somebody on your street. And then you get the stream that is developed because a stream is flowing, and you see that Jesus touched this lady and she became a stream. And when streams happen, you see that the people actually stream to Jesus because he's the source of the stream. So it's not becoming just an inward thing that is generated. It's becoming an outward flow. And you are, well, I want more of Jesus. And you see more people touched and you see more marriages restored and you see people's lives being renewed. It's because people are getting touched through the stream that is coming for you. What did Jesus say? He says, for them that thirst after me, a stream, a life-giving water will flow. Far does it go? Well, it goes to other people that really need the stream. And then they stream towards Jesus. And this is what happened here because it says, now they believe. Not just because of what the lady says, but because I've met Jesus ourselves. My prayer is that this would be a place of encounter. We'd be a place of renewed. I'll be a place of vision. I'll be a place of open heavens. Be a place of encountering the supernatural and healings and miracles. But yet we've got to realize whatever happens here in this place needs to reach you into this broken community, this place of lostness. The people are going to lost eternity without him. And we have the answer in Jesus' name. So Let's thirst upon him. Let's encounter him. But let's be awake. Let's look. Do you still believe that the harvest is ripe? Jesus is saying, look, the harvest for the gospel is ready for picking for them that will be awake and look and discern the times and the ages and be ready to share Jesus so that this stream may flow to other people. And it's entirely supernatural. It's entirely good. But it says that a fruit will be harvest of souls. That's a great thing, isn't it? Let's be awake. Let's look. Jesus is saying to the disciples, look, you did a journey, but you wasn't awake. You wasn't looking. And this lady should really put you to shame because this insignificant lady went and now our streams of people coming to Christ. Hallelujah. The mandate of the church is still missional. It's still to reap the harvest. It's still to share Jesus. It's not just about feeling good. It's about winning lost souls. It's about seeing lives transformed. It's about seeing signs, wonders, and miracles so that people can meet Christ. We are but a key. We are but intercessors. But our mandate is to join lost, broken souls into the hands of Jesus. This woman operated as a church because she went missional. And she went to heart of sharing Jesus, and she was awake, and she was looking, and she shared Jesus with Samaria. She went back into the very place she felt rejected. Maybe God will send you into a place that you maybe didn't want to go presently. I think she maybe didn't want to go back into Samaria because they rejected her. They looked down on her. But this woman in fire for Jesus, all that paled in insignificance, and she just went for it. So I'm going to go back into the place I've got a bad reputation. I'm going to go back into the place I felt isolated for. I'm just going to tell them about Jesus because he's made such a difference in my life. And the mandate of the church people, that's why we're going to be doing renewal sessions. This is why we'll do prayer meetings. Because we want to see this tune in the community, one for Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? But we'll let the stream flow through us to reach broken hearts and broken people. The church has got to get back to the thing. We're still a missional community. We're on a mission, and it's mission possible. And see many people come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's stand in his presence. Let's get the worship band up. We'll take up our offerings. We'll pray for our kids. But the mandate is clear.